Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Resilient Leadership Podcast, where everything that we talk about is aimed at helping you to lead with a greater sense of calm, clarity, and conviction, even in disruptive times. And my name is Bridget Tyer, and I am so excited to be back with my wonderful friend and colleague, Irvin Nugent, because we've been on summer hiatus. We've been taking a little bit of a break.
I know. Summer is here. We braked, and now we're back.
We are, and we are so looking forward to being back in the saddle again and having conversations together. You know, we got a bit of a doozy of a topic today, don't we, Irvin?
Yeah, tell us more. I'm actually intrigued, excited. It's made me ponder and think. So what is our topic about today?
Yeah, so we are going to talk about the 8 key turning points in every adult's life. Because as it turns out, from the time we're 18 to the time we're 80, 85, we do actually go through these turning points, these phases in our life, whether we're aware of them or not, whether we've been taught about them or not. They just seem to be baked into our adult development cycle. And so to our listeners, you know, if you're tuning in right now, maybe it's because you're like, maybe I'm at a turning point, or it might be my spouse is, or my child is, you know, and you just want to be a good resource. So that's what today is all about, is that we're going to talk about these turning points, you know, what characterizes them, how do we navigate them? Because here's the thing, Irvin, at every turning point, we make decisions, sometimes explicit, sometimes by default, and those decisions affect the next several years of our life. So it's kind of good to do it with some awareness and self-understanding. But I'm curious, Irvin, for you, like when I first came across these 8 turning points, and we're going to tell our listeners, we're going to give you guys a reference where you can look them up if you want to. But when I first came across this, it kind of surprised me because I was not aware of it. And I'm curious, is that true for you?
It is. You know, I'm aware of lots of different theories and psychological machinations and all that good stuff, but I had never heard of these, and they make such logical sense and truly accessible and really great reflection exercise. And in fact, if our listeners, if this really grabs you and you want to look a little more, there's a book about this written by Bob McDonald and Don Hutchinson, and it's called Don't Waste Your Talent: The 8 Steps for Discovering What You Do Best. So if this grabs you, dig a little deeper. I know I am. So I know that we're going to get into these 8 turning points. People are like, oh, just tell us what they are. We're intrigued. But before we do that, I'm curious about, you know, what do you think about, how do you know you're experiencing a turning point? What does that look like? Is there signposts in our life that we should say, ah, this is what's happening?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question because, you know, sometimes we're aware of these signposts, sometimes we're not. But the first one that I think about is that there's a bit of restlessness that attends these turning points, right? Now, we might not know what's causing that restlessness, but there's sort of maybe a bit of a quiet discontent. Because we are in this place where the path ahead may not feel quite as certain and as clear as it did a year ago. Right now, with that, I think another signpost, Irvin, is some questions start to arise. Now, we have to actually be quiet enough to hear them because, you know, we all live very busy lives. So these questions start to surface, and sometimes we can hear them and sometimes we don't hear them so well. But while the questions might be different at each turning point, they're usually centered around this sort of dilemma of, do I continue on this path or not? Right? And then a couple of other things. I mean, I think there's some anxiety that attends a turning point. Does that make sense to you?
No, totally. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Because I think anxiety is, we all know, it's about the unknown. And this is indicating that something is different. So absolutely.
And then interestingly, alongside of the anxiety and maybe this restlessness is an openness, because as it turns out, during these turning points, we are actually more open to exploring truly different possibilities than we are at more stable times in our lives.
Yeah.
So they can be incredibly fruitful and creative times as well as anxious times.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty neat to keep in mind. Okay, so there's one other thing that I just think is so important and helpful to understanding turning points, Irvin, and I wonder if you'd be willing to share this with listeners, which is, you know, we've talked about Murray Bowen and Ed Freeman many times on these podcasts, and but I don't know if we've ever talked about one of Murray Bowen's important distinctions between what he called the functional self and the solid self.
Yeah.
But I think it's very germane to our topic today.
Yeah.
So what would you share about that, Irvin?
Yeah, it's a really important distinction. Actually, when I came across it, it just made such intuitive sense. And so, as you've said, it's a solid self, or sometimes people refer to it as the true self. And what's that about? That is, as it's solid. So what's that? It's solid in its origins. It's solid in these internal values or beliefs or convictions that have developed over time. And we are anchored to them in the sense that, yes, this is the core of what I believe or what I value.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we're rigid. There is some flexibility there. But what's important is we're not just shifting with the wind. We're going to change when new knowledge comes and we've had some reasoning to say, oh, this is, I think about this differently now, and this actually has become a new value or a conviction.
Yeah.
And then the other test of this is it remains steady under emotional pressure. Mm. So it's about principle. And in the midst of the disturbance, we say, no, I need to be anchored. This is, you know, who I am. And then that's what's the juxtaposition here is the pseudo self or the system self. And the difference here is that its origins is a product of pressure or the anxiety that we've just talked about. Mm-hmm. And it's this need for security, for validation. And so therefore, that's what I'm following. Very fluid here. We do change with the wind here. Yeah. And this is about, you know, gaining approval and keeping the peace. And of course, it's very reactive. We've talked about over and under functioning in other episodes. This is what this is about. It's like over functioning in this moment. And so therefore, I think we vacillate between both of these. Both of these can show up in us. And it's really good to be able to recognize, oh, which self am I operating out of here?
Yeah.
And that's important. You know, just think, let me ground this for people.
Yeah.
Think about someone keeps talking over someone at a meeting and you need to have a difficult conversation with them. Well, the pseudo self will say, you know, it'll change just by itself. And I don't want to upset, you know, the relationship. The team's in a good place now. It's not the right time. Whereas the solid self would be, you know, one of my core values is that I recognize honesty and I recognize that we have to have good conversations to make a team function, even if they're difficult. And so therefore, I'm willing to go forward. You know, and so it's that difference of really recognizing it. And a turning point, I think both of these are going to come up. And what we want to try and do is to better align ourselves into the solid self. And it may be a moment when perhaps some of those values are changing. And it's important for us to kind of recognize what that's about.
Yeah. And this makes sense because human beings, from the time that we're an official adult, 18, throughout the rest of our life, we're evolving, right? Yeah. We aren't static.
Yep.
And yet, there is a core aspect to ourselves that we want to remain in touch with. And the turning points provide that opportunity. So, Irvin, can you think of a turning point in your life where you were able, because I think this is the opportunity, to perhaps better align your solid self, your true self, with the pseudo self? So there wasn't so much of a gap, right? Did you close the gap a little bit at some turning point that you're aware of?
Probably. I'm going to go back to the difficult conversation question because I think there was a point in my career in kind of my mid 40s where this became a realization that I was operating out of my pseudo self to please others. And it was an operating out of fear. It was anxiety, etc. And it became a moment of reflection for me, is why am I doing this? And what's the worst that could happen? And what do I really value? And at my core, I value relationship, and I value honesty, and I value a depth to relationships. And I think I was thinking, you know, my pseudo self was sabotaging that. And I think, you know, it was a long transition. It just didn't happen overnight. But I think it was the awareness there that I was operating out of something. I was telling myself a story that wasn't true.
Yeah.
And that needed to change.
This is just so important, especially for listeners. You know, if you're tuning into this because you want to be a better resource to somebody that you think is at a turning point, I think a lot of what you just said there in your example, Irvin, is helpful, because as we listen to somebody, let's say we have an 18-year-old child that's at a turning point, right?
Yeah.
And you can listen to them and hear, are they making decisions out of a desire to please you? Yeah. Or their grandparents, or their other parent, or their school system? Or is there some of that true self in there? The things that they actually are most drawn to and care most deeply about? Because you don't want that to, from the get-go, be overrided.
Yeah.
I love that.
Totally.
So let's get down to brass tacks and get into the turning points. So Irvin, let's talk about the first two turning points. What are they?
So number one, won't come as a surprise to people. When you think about what was the big moment in my life, it's probably going to be high school to college. You know, around 17 and 18, Fred has a niece at the moment who is visiting all these different colleges. It's all very much there. And whether we go to college or not, actually, this is a moment where we begin to work and we begin to have a career. And this is a moment where we're beginning to break away from our family of origin. And what's not surprising here is that a lot of this time, the decisions are made from external rather than internal sources. How many kids have you said, well, why are you going to Florida State? Well, my dad went to Florida State. Or why didn't you do this? Well, my mom did this. You know, so it's you can see that, not surprisingly, you know, it's coming out of this genuineness kind of inspiration and wanting to please, etc. And so at this age, we are very heavily influenced by external pressures. And I think, therefore, what we want to introduce is some questions to ask at this stage, which I think are important, maybe clarifying. Like, you know, what are my natural talents and abilities? You know, what am I really interested in? Not because I think other people are, but what am I interested in? What career might I want to have? What are my dreams? Now, let me tell you, I really feel for young people going through this transition because I know when I was doing it many years ago, at least there was some, I felt some boundaries. You could choose something and you could be guaranteed. And today that's not, the world is in flux. And so this is a moment where I think we have a real service to, I think what you just said is really listen to where young people are at, because I think they really are uncertain, and it's not surprising.
Yeah, there's so much to sort out. And you also don't necessarily know yourself tremendously well at 18.
Yeah.
But I think the questions are still worth asking.
Yeah.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with the fact that if somebody says, well, I really want to go to Florida State because my dad went there and he loved it. Of course, early on, the pseudo self plays a bigger role because you have to get a sense of self from somewhere, right? Yeah. So we get it from our systems, all right? But I love what you said there, Irvin, which is listen. If you want to be a good resource to anybody at a turning point, but we're talking about this first one, high school to college, ask questions and listen and give these young people the space to hear themselves.
Yeah.
Because that's going to help them make a better decision.
Yeah.
I so believe that. Okay. So continuing on, what's the next turning point?
So next one then is the world of work. This is either you're moving from college to the world of work, or perhaps you have a new job after having an entry job at the beginning. And that's normally around 22 to 25. Mm-hmm. And again, this has always been challenging. I mean, you know, to be the newbie in the workforce, think when you could bring yourself back to when you were new in the workforce, it was anxious ridden. It was difficult. And there was a lot of uncertainty. And now, you know, you've got AI and you've got all these different factors. There's less entry jobs at the moment. There's certainly less security. You know, one of the things is that, you know, you're going to have to reinvent yourself many times for those that are entering the workplace. So just think about that and what that brings. But it's also an exciting time. You're leaving home. There's new possibilities. You've got your wings. There's a little bit of independence that you hadn't got before. And I think some important questions to reflect upon in this stage, you know, is like, what do I want from my career? Mm-hmm. What do I do best? You know, what are the activities at work? What am I beginning to notice at work? Like, what is it that excites me? What is it that just bores me? What is it that energizes me? And what kind of lifestyle do I want? And I think the beginning here as well is, what does balance look like, is a really good question. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, Bridget, because I know one of the things that our listeners may not know about you is that you teach a course for young adults at this turning point in their lives. So what have you noticed? You're very attuned to this.
Oh, man, this is such a big turning point. So I teach this course called Career Freshman for two client companies. And I've been doing it for almost 10 years now. Mm. And this turning point, oh man, it can be very intense. And here's why. Because think about it. For the first time in your life, the next step is not mapped out to you. Because prior to this, you went to school. You went to elementary school. Then you went to middle school. Then you went to high school. Then you went to college or trade school. I mean, you always knew what was coming. Now you're in the world of work. And it's kind of like, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Like, is this it? Is this what I'm doing for the rest of my life? And I just think it throws a lot of young people into this place of like both excitement, but trepidation. Mm. Because that lack of clarity about the path ahead for the rest of your life can be just filled with lots of anxiety. That's what I've noticed.
Totally.
But I love that you said, start noticing at this stage. What do you like at your job? Even if you land in a job you don't love at this, no worries, man. There's so much of an opportunity to learn. What are the specific activities you like and what bores you? All this is good information to keep navigating, right?
Yeah.
And then you reach a certain period of stability. And then, of course, there's another turning point, Irvin. And what is that one about?
So this one is the age of 30. This, the authors call it an assessment, like the 30 assessment. So when you think about it, you know, at 30, you've 7 or 8 years of experience, hopefully in the workplace. You've learned a lot about yourselves. You're beginning to understand if the career you've chosen is a good trajectory or not. And this is kind of when young adults are thinking about marriage. They're thinking about family. And with that comes, you know, how do I balance this? You know, how do I work this out into the life that I've established so far? So there's a lot of questions to answer that really are going to have a huge impact in what follows. So what are some good questions to think about? Can I see myself doing this for another 10 years? Is this really the best use of my talents?
Yeah.
What do I want in life? And what am I doing that's going to enable me to achieve that? And I think begin as well about, you know, fulfillment and what do I want to add that would make my life fuller? So, Bridget, I think I remember you saying that you started thinking about one of your daughters who was in the midst of this turning point. And what are you noticing now about how she is navigating this important moment?
Yeah, well, you really nailed it with one of the questions you said is like, can I see myself doing this for another 10 years? Because literally she was saying this to me. She's like, so she's extremely successful in her job. She's been in the same field since she got out of college, and she's been moving steadily up the corporate ladder. Mm. She's good at it. And there's elements that she loves about it. But that question, Can I see myself doing this for the next 10 years? I don't think that's very clear. The answer is no. And so then if the answer is no, oh my gosh, well, I've just invested all this time in this. So then what would be more meaningful? What would be worth it for me? I hear her grappling with these questions, and I'm so glad she is, because I think here's always the risk at every turning point, because we're all busy. We all lead very busy lives. Is just sort of suppressing the questions.
Yeah.
And I'm glad she isn't.
Yeah.
She's leaning That's into them.
Yeah. It's that the curiosity to lean into it, I think, is really important. So the next stage, we might be a little more familiar with, we might call it something different, but you know, colloquially we say it's the midlife crisis and it's looming here. So how is that dealt with in this thinking about our stage or transition?
Yeah, well, this one can be a doozy, right? So, you know, the onset is anywhere from 38 to 45-ish, you know, but think about it. So you are now at this point where when you, for the first time, you look ahead and consider that you might not have more time ahead of you than you have behind you. Think about that, right? Yeah.
That's really
And
good.
So the end of life becomes foreseeable, even if it's still very distant. I mean, let's face it, when you're 40, you're not thinking about the end of life, but it's more visible than at any other time.
Yep.
And I think that can be a sobering thought that sort of jolts us. And again, questions start to percolate. And if we didn't take time during that age 30-ish assessment to face into the questions we were asking then, let's say we were just too damn busy and we just plowed ahead. Now those unresolved questions plus these ones can make this an even more challenging turning point. Yeah. So I think that this is a big one, but it's not inherently a crisis. It doesn't have to be a crisis.
No.
But if you've ignored for a long time your solid self, your true self, like at other turning points, I think that's what turns us into a crisis. And you know what happens, Irvin, and I wonder if you've seen this, is that sometimes people do things like, you know, they feel this restlessness, they feel this discontent. They're like, ah, and so they do something like buy a sports car or something else even more dramatic, like they have an affair. And of course, they're just trying to recalibrate, but not obviously in a very thoughtful way. But no matter if that's true or not, this turning point is a huge opportunity to do what we were talking about before, which is to bring into greater alignment who we know ourselves to be and who we experience ourselves and the kind of life we're actually living. And if they're not in harmony, this is a great opportunity to bring more harmony to that.
Yeah.
So always comes back to the questions then, Irvin. So like at this stage, what are some of the questions that can be helpful for us to lean into?
I think part of it, and certainly going back to my own kind of moment in time in this kind of period, it's not unusual that I think we're a little bit concerned and worried. We've lost some passion. We're in routine. Is this the way it's going to be? A type of mentality. And I think we're, you know, the buying the sports car, the affair is kind of shaking it up a little bit. But I think therefore, you know, in these moments, there's some questions, you know, like what is it that energizes me? What enlivens me? If you're feeling like flat, these are good questions to ask, you know, how do I feel about some of the core relationships in my life? What's working? What's not? What do I need to pay more attention to? What passions have I let slip? And therefore, you know, as you reflect upon this, then, well, coming from that, like, what changes do I need to make? What might help me move to greater balance? What might help me add some passion to my life? And, you know, what do I want to do in the next 10 years that would really help me feel that I've accomplished something or accomplished them at least? So, Bridget, I know that you've coached someone close to you who went through a midlife turning point. What did you observe?
Well, you know, the biggest example of this, And the closest one was my husband. And he and I were chatting about this just the other day, and we had a good laugh. Because at age 40, he had not, the previous assessments hadn't asked hardly any questions. He just was, we had three kids. He was working a big job. I was working. We were in the trenches of life, right? And it really wasn't until age 40 that it was like, oh, and those questions that you just spoke to were percolating in the background. And at first, his first reaction, and I kid you not, was to buy a sports car. That's what we were laughing at, because he bought this fancy sports car and he only kept it for 10 months. He's like, why did I buy this? I don't care about this. And eventually he created some space. He hired a coach and created some space to grapple with these questions, right? But it was a doozy, and it was interesting. It was interesting to watch. And notice I said he hired a coach. He didn't hire me, of course, as his wife.
A little too close. Yeah.
But anyways, so to our listeners, again, perhaps you're at this turning point yourself, and or know somebody, maybe your spouse. And the most important thing is to create the space for the individual to truly hear the questions they are asking and to ask them the questions they might be missing that would help them to navigate that. But of course, we're not done yet because, you know, we get through this turning point and then we settle into a period of relative stability, because that's what happens between the turning points, right? But then that quiet discontent rears its head again. And when does that happen? And what's that about, Irvin?
Yeah, this one is a little bit like the 30s. This one now is a 50 assessment, 50 and 55. What's interesting about this is that this one has, I think, particular relevance for women. Because I think for women, you know, especially women who had children, et cetera, so much energy goes into that. And now we're reaching a point where all of a sudden it's a turning point. This focus on family, et cetera, now you have more space to think about, oh, what now? And this juggling of family and work. And so now then it's like, oh, like thinking a little bit inward, et cetera. And sometimes for men who are very career driven, this becomes an assessment as well, as like, have I got what I really wanted? And what's this all about? And what's the meaning, et cetera? And so a little more inward reflection. And so I think some great reflection questions, you know, is, you know, what's been working on this path that I've chosen and what hasn't? Am I having impact? What values do I need to spend more time with? What am I doing that's feeling meaningful? And what could be even more meaningful or impactful? You're beginning to kind of think about legacy and what am I leaving behind and all of these. So these begin to enter the brain now. And I think it just opens this Pandora's box for even more and more questions about that. So I'm curious, I grew up with four sisters and I certainly recognize in them when they reached this phase that all of them kind of did begin that. They all had three of the four had children. Bridget, as a woman yourself, is this something that resonates with you?
Oh, definitely. This was a much bigger turning point for me than the age 40-ish. And as you said, like what happened to me is that I actually turned outward more. So my kids, by the time I got to this place, were leaving the nest. So while I had been working all along, I really felt this turning towards, how might I make an even bigger impact in the wider world of work and life? And I would say it was asking that question was great. And that's when I started thinking about writing books, you know, and doing other things that I now felt not only that I had the space to do, but the adult development place that I was in was more about how might I make a even more meaningful difference out there, right?
Yeah.
After having done so much of that inside of my own family. Yeah. So isn't it interesting how while these turning points are predictable in their onset and generally and kind of what's going on. Of course, we're all unique human beings. And what I just spoke about might not mirror a person who's listening, who's at this very assessment. We each have to ask and answer our own questions. So Irvin, we're just going to talk about one more turning point, the sixth one, even though there are eight, because this next one sets the stage very much so for the remaining two in a lot of ways. And so tell our listeners a little bit about the sixth turning point.
Yeah, this is another assessment phase, which is pre-retirement, normally around 60 to 65. This is very much in our mind. It's certainly something that's been in my mind. I'm about to turn 60. Fred, my husband, just retired on 60. So this has been part of our discussion for years.
Yeah.
And so this is a huge transition in our lives. And of course, we have built this experience in our career and family, et cetera. And it's a time to explore new visions and new horizons. And I think, you know, there's some mistakes we can make. We can have it very binary. This was my world of work on one side, and now I have no work. And I think, you know, the flexibility here to envision is very important. What was it about work that gave meaning? Revisiting kind of some of the passion questions, you know, how can I remain vital in this age? And, you know, some great reflection questions, which actually a friend of myself have asked each other, you know, what am I currently doing that I want to keep doing, even though I've retired?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Like, when I use the word retirement, you know, what vision do I have? What do I want to let go of, but what do I not want to let go of?
Yeah.
What maybe has been stale that I want to enliven?
Mm.
And I think a really important question is, you know, what kind of creative expression do I want to explore? One of the things that's interesting, we just had a conversation a few months ago and Fred was talking, you know, I was saying just as exactly, I said, like, what would you like to do that you'd never done? You haven't had time to do. And he said, you know, I would love to do pottery and to do some form of hands-on creative. And I said, well, now you have the time to do it. And I love that because it's another way of expressing something. So think about, you know, we've had the responsibility, we've had the work, we haven't had the time, but now you've got this time. What's possible now that wasn't possible before?
Yeah. Well, and Fred is so lucky that he's married to you because as a coach, you would ask these questions, right?
Yeah.
Where he might not have been inclined to be so clear about that.
Yeah.
You know, you just had the intuitive sense to like, hey, let's sit down and explore this together, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think what happens often is, so this is, you know, this is the pre-retirement assessment, right? 60 to 65, because you don't want to wait until you're retired to be asking these questions.
Mm-mm. No.
Then you're like, oh my gosh, here I am. And you know what I mean? Yeah. So I love that, Irvin. That is so, so neat. Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned there are two others, and if people want to, if this is resonating, you want to dig in, just remember the book, Don't Waste Your Talent, Bob McDonald, Don Hutchinson. But I think to wrap up today, Bridget, could you offer any some final suggestions about how we might best navigate these turning points in our lives?
You know, Irvin, I do, and I have three, and these seem to really be helpful. Because over the years, I've coached lots of my clients through turning points, as I know you have.
Mm.
And I think the first thing is to remember this, avoid the two extremes. Mm. Avoid suppressing the restlessness, the discontent, and doing nothing and just barreling through, but also avoid doing something erratic that isn't grounded in some kind of thoughtful reflection. And I just think, remember what I said, one of the signposts of turning points is anxiety. What does anxiety do? It sometimes makes us either suppress or react. Yeah. And we want to be thoughtful. So that's number one. Number two, turn up the volume on the questions that are simmering in the back of your mind.
Love that. Yep.
You've really got to, because they'll get drowned out. So what I often suggest to my clients, I say to them, I want you to write down every question you hear when you're in the shower, when you're mowing the lawn, when you're on a walk, there are some questions there. Mm. You don't hear them other times, but you might hear them then. Write them down. And then you've got them out of your head onto paper, and you can start to, you know, you can partner with somebody around those questions like you did with Fred.
Yeah.
Which is great. And then I think number three, in whatever way works for you, as you grapple with those questions and begin to answer them, turn that into a little bit of a personal vision for your retirement, whatever that means for you. Sometimes people do really creative things, have a storyboard, you know, vision. Other times people make it much, much more simple than that. I don't know if Fred has a vision per se, but you've asked him enough questions, Irvin, that he probably does. Like if I were to say to Fred, what's your vision now that you're on the other side? He'd probably be able to answer that.
Yeah. I think he would. Yeah. Well, this has been a really wonderful conversation, thoughtful, provocative. You know, I think as we live through life, one of the sayings is, you know, well, there's no guidebook to life. And that is true. However, I think there's commonality of experiences that there are turning points that are very similar. Now, all of us are unique. All of us are going to go through them differently. But there is some consistency about moments in our life when these occur. And I think what's really helpful is to notice them and to be thoughtful about them. Because I think no matter where we've come from, the more thoughtful we are, I think we can begin the next phase more grounded with a vision of where we want to go in that phase. So, Bridget, thank you for bringing it to the discussion. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully you have as well. If you think that this episode would be helpful to other people, please feel free to share the listeners. And we look forward to our next episode when we are going to talk about certainty and what's possible if certainty opens up. So until then, have a great few weeks and we will see you in the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Take care.